We start with the country's first land-based salmon farm planned for near Twizel. The proposal was unveiled yesterday and the government has committed $16.7 million to it. Mount Cook Alpine Salmon says the farm will be waste-free, returning all the water used in the farm back to source in the same state it was taken. Exported salmon earns the country more than $100 million a year, but the sector faces many challenges, environmental impacts and rising sea temperatures key among them. The country's largest salmon producer, New Zealand King Salmon, has had to dump fish, close farms and let go of staff due to warmer water temperatures brought on by climate change. To discuss the land-based salmon farm project, Mount Cook Alpine Salmon Chief Executive David Cole. Kia ora, David.
Yes, good morning, Lynn.
I'd appreciate it if you could explain, please, how this land-based salmon farm would work.
Yes, certainly. Look, we grow a species called freshwater king salmon in the hydro canals in the Mackenzie country near Twizel. It's the only place in the world where freshwater king salmon is grown. And it's because of their unique environment, swimming against a current. They're a leaner fish. They're more akin to, let's call it a wild salmon, than a marine farmed fish. And it produces a very clean, delicate, some say even velvet-like texture. Taste. We've been quietly growing our farms here. We've got five farms on the canals already and have done for quite a number of years. We've been quietly growing tenfold over the last decade, but we've actually run out of space to add more. So we're looking at a land-based farm where the fish enjoy the same water, where we can control the flow more, and we return all of the water back to the canals and back to the lakes after its use. So this is a novel, some might call it a 21st century disruptor concept. EY, the global consulting firm that monitors our industry globally, has forecast that potentially land-based salmon farms may contribute up to 20-25% of global production by 2040. So it's a really interesting innovation.
I've seen reference to a link to a wetland area nearby. How would that work?
Yeah, so the idea is that one of the benefits of a land-based farm is that we can capture all of our solids waste, and we would then like to take the remaining nutrients and pass it through a hydroponic farm, perhaps something like a wasabi farm, because wasabi is a nice companion product to salmon, and then take the residual of that, pass it through a wetlands area before returning the water to the canals and the lakes. So in its 100% pure form.
What about, though, the containment of wastewater? I'm hearing what you're saying about the circular approach, but we know about extreme weather events. It's one of the reasons, really, that climate change, that the salmon farming in the open ocean isn't working anymore. So what about floods in the area? How would this be able to contain that? Because this is what people will want assurance of, that there will be no pollutants anywhere.
Yeah, and look, we as I said, we currently farm in this region anyway, and we have done for more than 20 years. And so we've never experienced, even in flood conditions, anything that's either been a disruptor to the local environment or indeed to our own operations. So, but being aware of the 100-year events that are occurring far more frequently these days, I mean, that has to be designed into the way we engineer it, the way we design it up front, and so forth. And we've got a range of both global and independent experts around New Zealand, like Dr. Andrew Forsyth at NIWA, who are heavily involved in the concept and how we might approach this project.
The other thing, David, that comes to mind is ensuring water supply, because this is a very dry region. Are you going to be competing, because you're upscaling, and you've got big plans to upscale even further, are you going to be competing with farmers needing the available water for irrigation?
No, I don't believe so, because, I mean, the water sources that come from the Southern Alps, I mean, our lakes down here, Lake Tekapo, Lake Pukaki, Lake Ruatanifa, Lake Ohau, I mean, they are all fed from the glacial melt and the local rains from the Southern Alps. So whilst there's an ebb and flow in terms of water levels that are closely monitored by NIWA and by Meridian Energy and Genesis Energy, The whole hydro canal system down here is pretty well managed, and there's plenty of spillways if there are excessive water floods and so forth. So we don't see that necessarily as being any hindrance to what we've got planned.
What about infrastructure? If you're going to be transporting a great deal more salmon, is there going to be investment in the roads, for example, and could this have any environmental impact?
Well, we're very conscious of we call our Scope 1 and our Scope 2 emissions as a company. And we actually process our daily harvests in a modern processing plant in Timaru. So that's a two-hour journey where we have to take the harvest fish for processing. And then, of course, they get distributed around the world and around the domestic economy here as well. Look, the roads are all modern highways. So whilst yes, we do have to truck it, that's a fact of life. There's no impingement on current infrastructure in terms of what we're planning here.
What about workforce? Is this going to create many jobs?
Yes, we believe in the first 10 years, another 280 jobs. And the interesting thing is that the nature of these jobs, being a more technological type operation, are going to be more highly skilled. And that is going to pose a challenge to us. And we're having discussions with the local mayors and in terms of how we can actually support the local town here with more amenities, including things like affordable housing and so forth, to attract and retain a skilled workforce.
This is first for New Zealand, but there are more than 70 land-based salmon projects in planning stage under construction or in operation internationally. What lessons are you learning from them?
It's a very good point. And look, there are some successes, but there are some spectacular failures as well. And we're in a bit of a different environment because the design of a lot of the overseas land-based farms are what we call recirculated aquaculture systems. In other words, what they do is they recirculate the same water, they clean it up, they add oxygen and so forth. We're looking at more of a hybrid version where we can imitate the current sort of canal flows. Think of it as a side canal. And because it's different to many of the designs and approaches that have occurred overseas, then there are risks attached to what we're doing, but there's also quite a bit of innovation that we would want to inject into our approach here. And it's that risk, I suppose, that is the reason why we're very grateful and delighted to have the Crown support the project through its innovation prototype phase.
What about salmon welfare? I mean, there's issues when you're upscaling potentially of overcrowding. And what about the food that they're given? They're not eating krill, I believe.
No, look, you know, a lot of the criticisms that crop up from time to time about salmon farming and is it good and so forth, I mean, a lot of those old stories and old articles are often more than 20 years old. This industry has cleaned up its act an awful lot in the last decade, 15 years, and we are scrutinized very, very closely by international auditing firms that come through all aspects of our business. And I'm referring here to best aquaculture practice standards. So international auditors come through, they look at our feed, they look at what's going into the feed, they look at our stocking densities, and they look at how we're processing, how we're harvesting. And those fish welfare components are an essential part these days of a modern accepted aquaculture system. And we were the first salmon farm in Australasia to qualify for best aquaculture practice. And today we have the maximum number of 4-star ratings.
Most of your salmon is exported, that's the market. But are there any assurances for New Zealanders? We just heard in the news the skyrocketing price of food. Is this going to make salmon a more affordable product for New Zealanders ultimately when you upscale?
Look, we are at the premium end of the salmon market. So most of the rest of the world grows a species called Atlantic salmon. And I like to refer to it as the common garden variety version of salmon. It's much cheaper to grow. They can grow a 4-kilogram salmon in a year. For us, it takes 2.5 years or 2 years. So it's a much more expensive product to grow. So we can't guarantee New Zealanders are going to get access to a cheaper salmon. But it is a more prestigious, more coveted species. And that's what New Zealand wins its premium status for in this sector in overseas markets.
Is there any risk of disease from farmed fish? I mean, we know there are concerns for our native fish, the kokopu, for example.
No, look, we monitor our pathogens in our environment and very closely. We have three hatcheries that we own around the South Island. And, you know, fish health and fish monitoring, we actually have an independent industry vet who runs a health and pathogen monitoring fish program management for us. We put a lot of money into that program because fish welfare and fish health are absolutely crucial. That's our product, and you know, we've got to make sure that we look after it.
How big would you like this to grow ultimately?
Well, look, we believe that the prototype that we're targeting as initially is 1,000 metric tons, and if it's successful, let's learn from that experience and see how we can scale it to perhaps 3,000 or 4,000 tons. If we are successful with that, then there's a potential, of course, to replicate that model at other locations around this region. So, you know, maybe one day we can get to 10 to 15,000 tons, which is actually the size the entire New Zealand industry is currently supplying.
David, I know you've got to get back to a board meeting, but just if you could answer for me what you will be feeding the fish.
Yes. Look, we feed our fish a special diet that is unique to our product and our company, and it's produced in Australia by one of the leading global feed companies, Skretting. We have a minimal amount of fish meal and fish oil content in it because we're very much aware of the criticism that these feed companies are raiding the oceans of feeder fish to put them into pellets to feed aquaculture. So these days, the industry and certainly ourselves make sure that our fish in, fish out ratios are such that they don't threaten any of those small ocean feeder fish.
Mount Cook Alpine Salmon Chief Executive David Cole Ngā Mihi, thank you very much for your time this morning. Well, listen to that, Maren Vellenreuter, a marine biologist and seafood scientist at Plant and Food Research in Nelson. Morena, Maren.
Yeah, morena.
What's your view of the land-based salmon farm proposed by Mount Cook Alpine Salmon?
I mean, just to look at it from sort of a slightly higher level, I think it is really interesting to see the steps that the aquaculture industry in New Zealand has to undertake right now to actually deal with the increasing threats that are coming from our changing climate. Land-based farming is one of the steps that one can take to better monitor what is happening in the salmon farms, to control, for instance, for things such as temperature. But using a land-based farm is one, I think, one possible option out of a few that are available. So we have been seeing increasing temperatures over the last years. And in fact, if we are looking ahead, this is predicted again just to happen. So we are thinking that this summer we're having another La Nina phenomenon happening in New Zealand. So what can salmon farmers really do to respond to that? Well, one could say, move salmon further south where the water temperatures are naturally cooler. That could be one option. And we're seeing some expansion of salmon aquaculture actually happening in Southland right now. The other option, as you just said, of course, is, you know, changing the environment in a way that temperature has less of an effect. And that could be a land-based farm, like we've just heard previously. It could also mean moving into the open ocean. And there are two other options as well that I would like to mention. So one is we could also think we could breed salmon for increased resilience to deal with increasing temperatures. And the last and fourth option would be, well, this is actually really drastically rethinking what we are doing with the space that is available to us, and maybe thinking of using the space that is currently being used by salmon, such as the space in the Marlborough Sounds, and thinking about having other species, other finfish species, utilizing the space for aquaculture.
I know the sea is your specialist area, but can you see any potential environmental impact of land-based farms? I mean, it's been a struggle even in the open ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we in New Zealand, you know, as you just heard, it's a new thing for us. So there are lots and lots of learnings that need to be made. And I think it is actually really good to see government supporting and investing into this. It's really an R&D project, right? So it will be crucial to see if the economics will work out with that land-based farm. Some people may think that land-based farms are too expensive from an infrastructure point of view. And as has also been discussed, you know, water needs, sort of where does it actually sit? What is the environment like? What is the water availability like that needs to be looked at? And these learnings need to be taken into account, and there probably will have to be some refinements. As I said, you know, I think what we can definitely say right now is that looking at aquaculture in general, salmon farming in particular, what has worked in the past is not going to work in the future. In fact, it's already not working anymore. So what we need to do is really rethink how we are doing aquaculture in this country. And what we need in order to achieve this is really support to carry out R&D and to learn from it and to, yeah, modify our approach. You know, it's very clear, like, climate change is happening. We cannot prevent it, but we can try to mitigate the impacts that it may have. And we really need to be smart, and we have to be using innovations. And so R&D projects like this, I think, are really important, and we need to learn from them. And I hope that the findings will be shared, you know, with the rest of the industry so that we can make really informed steps for the future.
Mihi, Maren Vellendreuter is a marine biologist and seafood scientist at Plant and Food Research in Nelson.